Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
In the dark, I play my dream. Permaculture flows like sweet springs. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Permaculture, P-I-M-P, I'm the king. Wrapping love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 292 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. How you doing, son?
Pretty good, Dad. How are you?
I'm doing good, my man. Wow. Yeah, I'm just trying to get used to the new song, man. It seems like we got some pretty good feedback regarding that. And yeah, I hope I hit the right mark on that song. So, yeah, folks, I'm not going to redo it. So you better like it. We got an outro song, too. So something that's more in line with permaculture. This episode, as always, brought to you by Hickory Ridge Soap from twoldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. That's the foundation we started right here to clean up Western North Carolina. Weather's kind of got us in a pickle right now, and we're not able to do a whole lot, but we're chomping at the bits right now. We're doing all the things. We're actually getting really, really close to buying. We would have preferred to do this a lot earlier, but we're getting to the point where we're going to buy all the trees, and we're still putting out the extract whenever it's not freezing. And things are moving along, folks, and I can't wait to reveal to the world exactly what we're doing. Because when we do, man, it is going to be paradigm changing. When people realize that we are able to do with biology, what the good Lord put on this planet, it's gonna be paradigm changing in these mountains and in all these other places that are absolutely polluted. Folks, I think your mind is going to be blown, and I'm really looking forward to it. So, man. If you want to donate, you can go check us out at Gifts and Go. The website still isn't squared away yet. We thought we'd be there by now, but not yet. We got a few more hurdles to jump, and we're juggling so many doggone balls around here, y'all. It's crazy. Want to give a shout out to Denise at Renewed Homestead for handling the chat. Oh, the Homestead twins are in his house. Yeah, let's see who else we got here. Ladies Farm. Oh, good to see them. Hey, y'all, go check them out on YouTube as well, Renewed Homestead. Now, it's like I got 10 friends, and they're all right here in the chat. So, yeah, Ladies Farm, Homestead Twins, Campfire Chef. Oh, see, Alice Wills. Man, sorry if I'm messing some of these up, y'all. It's kind of tough to see with these glasses. But by the way, my vision is improving, and maybe I'll get to that in a minute. But I want to thank everybody coming in. Please, if you would, hit that thumbs up. Tell everybody we're live, and we're going to have a good time tonight. So, son, how's everything going on your end?
Pretty good. Today, you want me to get into the farm news?
Sure, jump right into it.
Okay. So today planted – oh, Dad, you're cutting out.
No, I'm sorry. You kick it off this time.
Oh, no, I was saying your feed cut out for a second. I don't know
okay. What was going on there. Hey, Michelle, if you would, take the hat. If you're able to hear me, take the hat off of the Wi-Fi because it may be messing with the signal up here. So we kind of blunt. We got this little, man, folks, we got so many doggone experiments going on around here. So you got Wi-Fi in your home, okay? Of course, we turn it off every single night. And when we're broadcasting like this, obviously, I'm in a different area. The Wi-Fi isn't here. I don't have it hardwired. And so during the day, whenever you have to have your Wi-Fi on, Redemption Shield sells these little hats, and it's made out of this military-grade material that your Wi-Fi will still work, but you don't need it blasting at full power. So when you don't need that, you know, you can put that on there, but it could be a double-edged sword. Okay, we're all good. Thanks, honey. All right, son, as you were, go ahead and kick it off. That's probably on my end. Things were all messed up.
Oh, you're good. So today I had a friend who actually made me this notebook because he knows that I carry around a notebook everywhere, but this is like walnut. It's pretty cool. I like it. But I was over there helping him plant trees, and he actually had like 36 trees that he ordered from Leg Creek Nursery over in Texas. Leg with two G's, L-E-G-G, Creek Nursery. And I got to tell you, those are the best trees I've ever, best bare root trees I've ever seen come in a box. They were like, they ordered, if he ordered 1 to 2 foot bare root trees, they were like 3 to 4 feet tall. And you know how when you get bare root trees, the roots are like shaved back to almost nothing. These things had like full blown root system. Like they only trimmed enough to make it fit in the box. Like they weren't worried about weight. They weren't worried about packaging, awesome, anything like that. So, and then the blueberries had full like hair root systems going on. It was fantastic. So when I order fruit trees in the future, I will be getting it from Leg Creek Nursery for sure. I was completely mesmerized by how much they left on the trees when they shipped them.
Well, so folks could also go back and watch the video that you and I did a few years back on grafting. I mean, that's honestly the least expensive way to go about it. Do it. You can even grow your own rootstock. We got trees down here where we're doing some of that. Anacovia apple, for example, is one of the ones where it grows true to seeds. So you can use those. I mean, there's a number of different ways you can go about it, but yeah. Bare roots. Yeah. I mean, people think, I mean, son, maybe explain real quick why a lot of folks think that, wow, man, I want to go out and get this potted tree. Look how big it is. Why would you prefer a bare root?
So potted trees, if I plant a potted tree, there's a couple of different reasons. If I plant a potted tree, it's going to go through two transplant shocks. The first transplant shock whenever I first plant it, and then the second transplant shock once those roots extend past the potting soil that was in the pot. So there's that, and then it has to contend with like being adapted to the potting soil, and then it has to like readapt to the surrounding soil around it. Whereas the bare root tree, once I plant it in the ground, it's only going to go through one transplant shock, and then that 1 to 2 foot bare root tree is going to surpass the potted tree in like a matter of sometimes a single season, like a single year, it surpasses that potted tree, and it's also like a quarter of the price. I can spend like anywhere between 10 to 20 bucks on a pot or a bare root tree versus like the cheapest potted tree at full price you're going to find is about 40 bucks. Sometimes at Walmart you can do, like you've seen it before. The homesteading pastor has made a video about it before, but the $5 clearance trees over at Walmart, that's the only time I would ever buy a potted tree is if it's like for $5 on clearance at Walmart. And, you're going to have to baby that tree. Those potted trees are the only ones that you really have to baby. But I showed him how to do the stun method, the strategic total utter neglect, but providing it with the best environment possible first. And like you have videos on how to plant a tree. I just recently came out with videos on how to plant a bare root tree. It's just the best way to go. And then the cool thing about these bare root trees, or any trees really, once you buy them, if you buy rootstock at the same time, then you really never have to buy trees again, because you can take cuttings from your rootstock, root that rootstock, cut the top off, and then whenever you get cuttings from your fruit trees, you can take that scion and graft it to your rootstock, and then you have like an infinite loop of just free fruit trees that you can produce on your own farm.
And it's a good way. It's a good moneymaker too, man. If you're looking for something, a business you could have out of your garage, maybe you could do it for, it could be a cash business. Man, there's so many different ways. And you know, when you're pruning your trees out there, good night. Okay. You could take that stuff. You can compost it. Or if you got some root stock, man, you could sit there and graft it right off the bat and be off and running. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go about this, folks. And look, I up until now, it would have been a good business. I mean, is it right now? I don't know, because basically a lot of people in this podcast are going to know this. A lot of people have gone right back into the matrix. Just as I've been saying for months and months, so many people have gone back into the matrix and they think, oh, good times are here again. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but the food prices haven't gone down one single bit. In fact, and you're predicting they're going to go much higher. So I don't know anybody else has gotten any massive pay raises or anything like that. So, folks, I mean, you can go ahead and believe all the hype, because Trump derangement syndrome, I'm realizing, goes on both sides of the equation. And as always, when a Republican's in office, everybody, look, this is why I'm saying, all you folks that are looking to buy land, or you're wondering, oh, good night, man, I just can't seem to find my way, just hold on. Hold on, because a lot of those people that heard of Alan Jackson song and gone country, I'm telling you what, they're heading right back to the suburbs, and you're going to be able to get this stuff with a butterfly net. So just hold on a while. What else Absolutely. You got, John?
So I'm about to hit the road, about to do consultations. I'll see you guys here in about a week or so. But so the problem that I have is I don't want Emily and the baby going to the property to feed the pigs by themselves, just because the sketchy stuff going on. In fact, today there was a pit bull that ran onto the property while I was on it because the gate was open. And I didn't have to shoot it. I just shot the gun into the ground and then the pit bull ran off. But it seemed pretty friendly, but still, it's friendly until it's not. So, yeah, I don't want the Emily and the baby to go over there feeding the pigs by themselves. So I had to come up with a solution, and I think the solution is putting a deer feeder out there. So I bought a deer feeder at Walmart for about like $100, bought a battery to go along with it.
That's a good idea.
So I'm going to set that up tomorrow, set up a video, and see how long, if it works. I mean, if it holds like 225 pounds of feed, which is like four bags of feed, and four bags of feed lasts about 2 weeks on those pigs. Actually, three bags of feed lasts 2 weeks on those pigs for eight pigs. They're cooney-coonies. So if this works out, then that's no more paying for a farm sitter. I'm just going to make sure they have enough water and then have that deer feeder feed the pigs. Put them in a new paddock, put all the nets out, which I'm down to two since that whole incident in the past. But yeah, I'm going to see how that goes. I'm pretty excited about testing that out.
Well, that is a pretty good idea if it pans out. I mean, pigs, man, their sniffer is so good that they won't have a problem finding it. It's just you're always worried, but when you automate something, you're always wondering about malfunctions, you know?
Yeah, and my other concern is with those pigs, potentially, they're cooney-coony, so they're less aggressive, but I'm concerned that they might knock the feeder over and just get all the feed on day one. Hopefully they don't do that. I might try to rebar it or stake it into the ground somehow. But you and I were talking about finding a contractor to actually show up before, and how in East Texas, it's impossible to get a contractor, even though you're throwing money at them. It's impossible to get a contractor to show up. Today, I was at a friend's house and she's going through some communal living issues, basically. And she has what was a shared driveway has to become she has to make her own driveway now. Showed up there. We were waiting on this dude with the heavy equipment to show up. I waited there an hour, and the guy never even showed up. Like, I think by the time I was about to leave, I think she got a call saying, "Hey, I'm headed that way now." So she was like, "Hey, I know you got stuff to do. Just go ahead and go home." And I told her, like, "Hey, if it turns out he doesn't get this done, let me know, and I'll come back over whenever I get back from being on the road." Also real quick, I'm about to hit the road to do consultations. If anybody has any information on trafficking that's going on in North Carolina after that event, please send me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. If you have any information at all, this dog keeps whining. Let me kick her out real quick.
Yeah. When he gets back here, we're going to have to find out about this whole communal living issues in the mountains up here. When you talk about communal living issues up here, son, that's usually wife swapping. So
no, it ain't none of that. It's honestly the issues with this communal living is just it's just greed. That's what tore down this communal living thing, which is a common reason.
Wow, how many times do we know about that?
Yeah. Greed. Okay, so it's actually almost copy and paste the situation before. It's greed and it's control, basically, is what's tearing down that community. But she's being taken care of. She's just being taken advantage of by just crappy people. So there's that. The last thing I had for farm news I guess that was actually it. Oh, the flooding in Kentucky. I don't know if anybody has any information about the recent flooding. But if you do, if you know that there's people in need, let me know. Send me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. Me and my buddy are going to be starting a disaster relief like organization. One thing that we kept saying while we're in North Carolina on my first trip out there was, man, why don't we just start our own organization? Not saying anything bad about any of the other organization. It's just there's a benefit in having a two-person team that can react quickly without the governing body of any other organization. And we kind of fulfilled that role while out there in North Carolina. So, yeah, if you know anybody in need in Kentucky, shoot me an email at thepermacultureconsultant@gmail.com. There's going to be more information about that in the future. We just got to figure out how to make it legal.
Yeah, I'll swing around to that Kentucky thing here in a minute. And I hope all of our friends out there, man, we know people there. I need to reach out to them. The fact of it is, honestly, folks, I've been sequestered as much as possible away from the mainstream news, and maybe I'll come to that in a minute. I wouldn't even know about the whole Kentucky thing if it hadn't been for your mom, and she was I've just had to acquiesce, y'all. I mean, I'm having something of an existential crisis about a couple of things, and maybe I'll get into that a little bit. So as far as on this end, had an Army buddy die suddenly, and now I can't say why or how in this platform, but I think some of you can read between the lines. And died suddenly. I served with him at Fort Bragg, and we were paratroopers, got pictures of me with him when we were buck privates. I mean, in airborne school, you know, walking to we hit the drop zone, and I remember walking to a place. Somebody snapped a picture of us. I can't remember who, but anyway, he's no longer with us and had two kids. And he was a Division I track coach. So anyway, he's passed on. So if you could, please offer some prayers to his family. And once again, another one of those cases where it died suddenly. And like I said, I'll leave it to everybody out there to kind of read between the lines.
I know, so, you can't say the name, but was it any of the ones I knew?
You met him before, Chumley.
Oh. Okay.
Chumley, yeah, you met him before. You were little then, but anyway, he's passed on, and there's a whole lot of other folks just like him, folks. And honestly, this is part of the reason why I'm having this, I'll call it an existential crisis regarding this and the work I'm doing right now, asking myself, why am I doing it? I kind of touched on it a little bit in the last podcast, thinking, man, I'm as much an activist as I've always been. I mean, my whole life, your whole life, son, you've never known me as never being an activist. I mean, I've always tried to stand up.
I remember being on your shoulders in parades and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, not some lunatic leftist activist or anything of that sort. I'm a dyed in the wool, liberty minded permaculture pimp daddy, y'all. So I'm not left or right. And, you know, when I call it like it is, you know, there's going to be always that part of the equation, some side of the equation that find themselves in that false left-right paradigm that automatically assumed certain things about me. But honestly, I'm just having this existential crisis like, man, maybe I should go back on my tools and just kind of give all this up, man, because it doesn't seem like anybody's paying attention. I mean, everybody's honestly gone back into the matrix. Not everybody. I mean, obviously not the people hearing this, but I'm preaching to the choir here. I mean, you guys don't need to hear anything from me. And honestly, you know, even the people I know, when we know there are antidotes out there, and by the way, y'all, this Wednesday, I'm going to be talking to Dr. Brian Artis, and you can believe that ain't going to be on YouTube. I'm going to have to do that one on Rumble. And can't put it on X because X's, they shadow banned me before I even got a chance to get started. And then the other things where we got Facebook basically dropped us off. You know, I got to jump through all kinds of hoops to put on anything on Facebook or Instagram, and got two warnings from TikTok. So I'm like, okay, well, ever since Trump got in, this suppression has gotten 10 times worse for anybody that's critical. And folks, anybody that's watched any of things we've done, I mean, if you think I'm critical on Trump, well, how much worse was I on Biden? And I'm asking myself, why am I even doing this? Sometimes I really have that question. And honestly, going back to Chumley and a lot of other people like him, where got another Army buddy, two of them actually, was talking to these guys about what happened, and both of their wives got the treatment. I'll call it that. And both of them, to a person, are, well, one for sure is definitely not herself anymore. And to hear my friend talk about it, my buddy, my army buddy, it's like her thinking, she's not the same mentally or physically. And it doesn't take a good eye, at least to his credit. I mean, he's realizing where it's coming from. And then I'm telling him, hey, there are people out there that know how to mitigate this. There are products out there, like, you know, we sell it right here. We don't sell it, but we're affiliates. I finally linked up. I mean, all the times I've talked about Cardio Miracle, it never even occurred to me to have them as an affiliate, which I don't know why. Because I use this stuff every single day. Even I didn't get it, but I use it every single day.
Well, and I know why. I know why you didn't want to do the affiliate thing at first. It's because you wanted people to actually take it and to believe you when it said it worked. Because if you're making money from it, there's always that, like, the little person in the back of your brain, like, oh, he doesn't actually use this stuff. He's just trying to make money. That's why you didn't take an affiliate from him, because you wanted people to actually get better.
That's why I didn't take anything, you know, from Dr. Will. I mean, I can make thousands and thousands if I took a lot of these affiliate deals, and I don't. I don't, because I'm like, man, you're exactly right, son. I'm like, man, if I endorse this and people think for a minute, I would rather people just take the product and me not get any monetary benefit. And then finally, I'm like, well, you know what, man? I'm not lying to anybody, man. Everything I talk about on this show, I use. I actually use. And there's a bunch more that I use. And, you know, from a medical nature, it does. I was like, I told Dr. Will and Pat Miletich, I was like, no, man, let's not include me in any monetary benefits, because I really want people to take this stuff because I feel the difference. And I thought it would be a higher encouragement. But anyway, I'm telling him about Cardio Miracle and some of the other things. And he's like, well, send me a link. And I'm like, dude, okay. First of all, if you just told me what I can't get my head around is if my wife was in a bad way and I had a friend telling me, hey, man, there are some really awesome things out there that could lessen, maybe even eliminate, or even chelate this junk out of you, I would be paying attention. And it was like the dismissive nature of it was like, dude, okay, I'll text it to you, but I will bet a dollar to donuts that he did absolutely nothing with it. And I'm like, dude, I research this sort of thing day and night. I mean, I'm listening and I'm having people on the podcast that know all about these things. So I'm trying to evangelize this stuff to people that I know and love. And it's like it's like their brains are just incapable of, you know, even when this thing went down, I was warning him from the very beginning saying, look, dude, are you sure you want to do this? And then I gave him all the information I had. I'm like, dude, why are you going to take this thing for an illness that has a 99.9% recovery rate? Why would you do that? And his response to me was, well, we're going to roll the dice and one of us is going to make it through to take care of the kids. And I'm like, dude, did you not just hear the statistic I gave you? Did you not just hear it? But anyway, it didn't do any good. But so yeah, Cardio Miracle, that's one of the ones you can do. Ivermectin, fenbendazole, especially when you listen to what Mel Gibson said. I was hoping that because Mel Gibson said it, that now maybe people will pay attention to what we've been talking about and all these other frontline doctors were talking about regarding fenbendazole and ivermectin. And, the guy we had on here, John Richardson, talking about the seeds, the apricot seeds. Man, there's not one of these things I don't do because, honestly, there are people shedding on you. Or then there's this other thing where I'm sounding like a broken record right on YouTube. And that has to do with what they're dropping from the sky. Son, I'll be honest with you. This is where I'm talking about this existential crisis more than anything. And, folks, I'm going to ask you all to do something tonight. I'm going to ask you to do something for yourselves and for me and for us all collectively. And it's not as if I don't do it myself, but every time I talk about what they're dropping from the skies, these chemtrails, naturally, what's the first thing that you think? Son, let me ask you, what do you think is the number one response people who respond to those videos, what do you, or email me, what do you think they say?
Oh, that's a conspiracy theory.
No.
Or what can we do about it?
That's it right there. What can you do about it? And I'm like, well, how do I streamline this? How do I stream like this? Because I'm a full-time farmer. Folks, I work harder now than I ever have in my life because, honestly, I feel it. Even though I'm having this existential crisis, I still feel it my duty. My name is William, okay? That means Wilhelm. That means Will Helmet. That means protector. And honestly, I don't know how to undo this part of me where I feel like, okay, if I know what this truth is or if I know something that's going on, I feel like I need to protect the people around me. And son, I've always trained you from when you were little. That's what your name means. That's what you live up to. You be the protector. Whether it's your family or the people around you, you stand up for the people that can't stand up for themselves. And, you know, here's what I'm going to tell you, folks. And I'm probably going to do a full-length video on this. Here it is in a nutshell. I got a lot of notes here that I was going to talk about, but I'm probably not going to do that because I spent so much time doing this now. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do. And I'm not dogging anybody. Believe me, I'm not. I know how hard it is right now for a lot of you folks, man. You toil away day after day, week after week, many of you for a pittance. You're not being paid enough to do what you do, and it's not enough to put bread on the table. So you have limited time. So I said, how on earth can I come up with a way that can streamline this so easy when everybody asks me, what can I do? Well, here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you the cliff notes right now, and I'll go into more detail later in another video. I was going to do it today, and then I said, well, let me think and pray on this a little bit. So here's what you do. A lot of people do not know who their local state representatives and senators are. Okay, fair enough. In many cases, people don't even know who they are on a national level. So here's what you do. And I did it myself just to make sure that this would work. So I came up with a streamlined way of doing this. And it takes about 10 minutes, maybe 15, if you don't know your way around it. And I'm going to ask you to do the one thing I never thought I'd ask you to do, and that's to use AI. And I'm talking like ChatGPT or the other one like it. So here's what you do. So let's say you live in this place. You don't know who your reps are. Go to ChatGPT, literally put in, I live in so-and-so town in this state. Who are my state senators and representatives? Bam. And give me their contact information. Okay, so that's number one. Let's say you don't know who it is on a federal level. So do the very same thing at ChatGPT and say, give me their contact information, and it'll pop right up. Then here's what you do. Go to ChatGPT and say, write a letter to Congresswoman so-and-so and tell them to stop chemtrails. Just put it in just like that. You don't have to get fancy. You can if you want to. And I guarantee you this thing will spit out a better form letter than you could ever write yourself. And All you do is cut and paste, take the whole thing down, put in the senator, and then put it in for your state rep, your state senator, and then both your federal senators and your congressperson. Okay. And that's all you got to do. And here's my plan. Here's what I'm going to tell everybody to do. And believe, you better believe I'm doing it myself. So this is step one. When you ask me what you can do, I know, don't throw your hands in the air and say, oh, well, you know, they're not going to do anything. Well, it ain't going to be because I didn't try. Because honestly, where this eventually leads is to a place where I don't think anybody wants to go. So let's try the peaceful route. And let's try to encourage everybody else around you. When you say, what can I do? I just gave it to you. It takes you 15 minutes to get this done. And folks, I am the least capable person on a computer. So I said, okay.
So that means 5 minutes for everybody else.
Probably. So that's what you do. And say, look, just tell them to stop the chemtrails. And it'll write you up, even put bullet points in. I mean, you can church it up however you want. Hang on to it. Send that email off. And then here's how it's going down after that. So here's how they're going to respond to you. On a federal level, they're going to give you some form letter. It's going to be a bunch of BS. The second I get that letter, so I sent off the first one. Now I'm going to write to you twice a week. Then you're going to send me another form letter. Then I'm going to write to you three times. I think you get the point. Until finally I get to the point where I'm writing you every single day, demanding that you stop pissing on us from the sky. And folks, sorry to be so crass, but I don't know what else to call it. This is why I'm so freaking aggravated, because every single day, and it's three times worse under Trump. Since he got into office, the chemtrails are three times worse. Folks, I look at the sky. It's what I do for a living. I pay attention, okay? I got to look up there every single day. They are blotting out the sun. And then when I talked to Dr. Will Spencer today, man, folks, if you only knew the nefarious things that they're putting in this stuff, and it might have something to do with operations with Stargate, that Project Stargate. Okay, there's nanoparticles in this stuff. And then I can't tell you how to get it out of you except to say go check out Dr. Anna Mihalchik. Okay? And there's ways to chelate this stuff out of you. There's other people that have other methods too, but hers is the one I use with EDTA. EDTA chelation. I do that twice a week. And it'll yank basically all the metal particles and the nanoparticles out of you. So it basically screws up their operating system. But that's where this fog comes into play. This is why I sound like a freaking broken record on YouTube as of late, y'all. Because honestly, it's hard for me to sit here and tell people, you know what? We got a farm out here that's better than anything organic by their standards, by many magnitudes. Go look up the organic standards, okay? What we're producing here in terms of our animals and everything else is beyond anything that they are allowed to call organic, okay? It's beyond organic. I know it's kind of a cliche these days.
I think that's a brand too. Yeah, but Beyond Organic is a brand now.
Yeah, but son, can you even claim that it is anymore with this junk they're dropping from the sky?
No, I don't think so.
I'm like,
not if you live in the United States.
Yeah, I mean, yes, Cookie Wilcox is saying fix the world, Morocco. Yeah, I've reached out to those folks. They won't contact me back. I have reached out to Hope and Tavon, I think are their names. Yeah, I've reached out to these people. I got another thing actually that's in the works that probably dwarfs what they have going. So I'm working with some other folks. But the other stuff I'm working on may not be available to everybody out there. So the bottom line is, folks, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. Reach out. I could give you all the farm news and everything, but honestly, there's nothing more important than what I'm asking you to do right now. Because, you know, what's all this Make America Healthy Again stuff? What does all that mean? If you're sitting here dropping this garbage, you're crapping on us from the sky. And it's worse now than it has ever been. That's why I'm struggling as of late to sit here and show folks. Believe me, I got so many films. It's never a shortage of what I can film, ever. Okay? I'm not a one-trick pony. Believe me, there are so many things I could do. And I'm just struggling thinking, man, how do I even talk about this when the most fundamental aspect, the air we freaking breathe, is compromised? So I'm like, well, how good is my farm really? I mean, I'm not putting any junk on it, but they are. So I'm just, yeah. You know, I mean, this is the part that's got me like fit to be tied. And, you know, you got all these people riding Trump's nuts like Alex Jones and all the others used to be, you know, gangbusters on chemtrails. Ain't saying a word about it now. Not a single word. So it's like everybody's falling back into the matrix. And I'm like, there is no way people are not seeing what's happening here. I don't know what's happening. What does it look like? I mean, you were getting that fog, same, weren't you?
Yeah, we were getting that fog. I drove. There was one time I was helping, a couple weeks ago, I was helping my friend process pigs at his house at about sundown. At about sundown, we both smelled burning plastic. And, like, you couldn't really tell if there was a fog coming in or not, but we both smelled burning plastic. I drove home an hour and a half away, and I still smelled that burning plastic when I got out of the truck. Like, and then my buddy, who lives in Middle Tennessee, smelled burning plastic that same night, and his mom smelled burning plastic that same night. This fog, and then was it Saturday? I had this like headache that lasted all day. Usually, whenever I have a headache, I can take in salt, and then the headache goes away. Not the case with this one. It was like, and it kept increasing as the day went on. I don't know if that was correlated or not, but it was a headache that I couldn't explain with anything that I would usually do for a headache. But the weather is just, it keeps fluctuating now. And I mean, there isn't a day where you don't get clear blue skies here in Texas anymore. Like every day is going to either be hazy, or you got chemtrails streaking the skies, or it's just going to be cloudy and overcast. And the temperature is fluctuating like crazy here. We've got trees about to bud, but now we're getting freezing temperatures, which is typically normal for this area, just not this early. Like, trees don't have a long dormant period here in this part of Texas. But it's just not the same as before. Like, the cycles are all screwed up. Like, the usually it'll warm up. Like, we'll get a week of freezing temperature here in this part of Texas, and then it starts warming back up again. And then it's like a consistent warming until right before Easter, and then we'll have another freeze, and then it goes on to summer. That's how the cycle goes here in this part of Texas. And it's just not the same anymore. It's just not the same.
Well,
it's
just
super hard to predict. And they adjusted, they changed the USDA growing zone for this part. They made it colder.
See, this is mind-boggling. I mean, judging by the stuff here in the chat, Neithi says, you know, the fog is here every other week in Youngstown, North Carolina, and everybody else. By the way, we'll have to get Neithi on the show again to talk about some of this stuff. You know, there's so much doggone junk going around. And folks, honestly, this is why I'm struggling right now to put out a, trust me, I'm going to get back to it. And I'm even toying with the idea of maybe starting another channel where I leave that one maybe strictly for activism and then just cover farming just on this channel. But it's getting to the point where I'm so doggone frustrated. I'm like, well, what am I doing this for, man? I mean, what am I doing? I mean, I have some, I don't want to go into too much right now, but I got some stuff coming that protects us, but that's protecting me. I mean, I'm trying to protect this whole freaking region. And, you know, there's people out there that are in the fringes out there that are doing some cutting edge science you're never going to hear about, and they'll never allow themselves to be seen on a podcast and stuff like that. Yeah, but that's got me protected. But I'm thinking, what about everybody else? You know, I got the means to protect my farm from this stuff through some technology that isn't necessarily available to everybody, but I shouldn't even have to do this. I shouldn't even have to. I mean, you're talking about make America healthy again. Well, here is the most fundamental aspect of making us, folks, one of the ways I woke up was right after that BS they call 9/11, which, by the way, was done by our own government. Okay, might have been some others involved too, but I know we were definitely in on it. If you believe that official story, I don't know what to tell you because it is a manufactured lie. Anyway, remember not long after it, I was one of the ones believing this BS from the beginning. You want to know what woke me up is when the second Bush, you know, that moron that they put in the White House, he gets on there and he's like, yeah, we need to fight them over there so they don't come here, which is absurd just on the face of it. And then opens up. I'm like, okay, if we're in a war on terror, then the most fundamental aspect of keeping us safe is our borders. And I'm an expert on borders. Okay. That's part of what I did in the military. How is it you got a wide open border, but we're in a war on terror, but you got our troops overseas? So I was already awake to a lot of things by then, but that was when I woke up to everything being a manufactured lie. And this is the same exact thing. You want to make America healthy again, but meanwhile, we're dropping aluminum, barium, strontium, and all this other junk. So folks, to not beat this horse any more than I have, all I'm going to ask you to do, like I said, use this AI in your favor. Use it for something good. If you don't have time, and I understand you don't know who your local, that's what ChatGPT is for, okay? Go there, have it write it up for you, put it out there. Let's all do this. Tell everybody to do it. I mean, yeah, we got a pretty big voice here. We go out to a lot of people. A lot of people listen to us on the platform. But, I mean, it's not like Joe Rogan's ever going to ask somebody to do anything like this. So, folks, I mean, this is, I'm going back to my roots in activism. I have to. There's nothing I would rather do more than show people how to grow their own food. But honestly, my light years better than organic orchard gardens and everything else ain't worth two dead flies if they're just sitting here dumping this crap on me. And I'm sick of it. And then we got weird things like, you know, there's a video that I put out where I'm like, hey, Trump, here's an order for you to put out there. And didn't get any traction on my X account, which, by the way, we're having all kinds of issues on X accounts. And somebody else snatches the video up, reposts it, and I don't know how many millions of views it has right now. So, yeah, it ain't just happening to me. It's happening to other people that are critical about the administration. So, folks, just stay alert, stay alive when it comes to a lot of this stuff. All right, I spent so much time talking about this. We're gonna skip a segment or two, and we're gonna jump into the main one here. And folks, it's gonna be one. This is going right straight into what we really need to be talking about. So before I do, Farm Connection, you know, they got some good bare root trees and all this other stuff that you want to check out. A lot of the stuff I use, y'all, I get from there. They got 10% off with promo code PERMA, and they ship. Wave Watch. You're dealing with anxiety. You got any kind of health issues? Look, I mean, your mom used it the other day. She was having anxiety issues. And I'm reasonably sure it had something to do with what they were dropping from the sky. She put on a watch. It all went away. And she seems pretty well convinced that it came from what they're dropping in the sky. When she's on Thursday, I'll let her talk about that a little bit more. Look, coming up March 18th through the 22nd, Shalom Temple's got their 5-day immersion event. Barbara O'Neill is going to be there. Folks, this is why I'm saying I think the next big thing that they're about to pull is going to be of a medical nature. Reason why I'm saying is that things I used to be able to talk about on YouTube, I can't talk about anymore. I can't get away with it. They will shut the video down, and they will absolutely give me another strike. So, and there's a bunch of other data points. Like I said, I'm pretty good at noticing patterns. And they are doing everything they can to shut down people who have natural means to heal the planet. So,
speaking of that event, I'll be providing security for Barbara O'Neill, which she thinks I'm doing her a solid. She's going to be doing me a solid because I'm going to be talking to her the entire time. She ain't getting a break.
Well, William's going to be part of that detachment looking after Barbara. You know, when you got somebody like her, I mean, there are people out there that, you know, and they're by the way, they're armed guards too. So, yeah, don't start no SH. Yeah. There won't be no IT. May 2nd through the 4th, Mountain Readiness, y'all. That's one you want to go check out. It's the best festival you don't know about. Folks, you can go ahead and check out these typical homestead events where it's going to be the same tired things over and over and over again. Well, T at Mountain Readiness, man, he's not playing that game, y'all. And he's bringing in some of the, I'm talking, there are classes there that you cannot get anywhere else. And I mean that. Best festival you don't know about. And I'm thoroughly looking forward to that. That's going to be May 2nd through the 4th. Go get your tickets at mountainreadiness.com. Very reasonably priced. And I think you're going to dig that one. And Redemption Shield, that's where I was talking about that little hat you put on your Wi-Fi thing. Well, they sell a lot of other cool stuff too, especially regarding the grounding. And that's where I got my feet right now, one of those grounding mats. So go check them out. Look, I'm going to hang on Eric's. We're getting kind of late in the tooth on this thing, so I want to jump right into it. I'd ordinarily go to my man Eric, but we're going to save that for next time. EMP Shield, $50 off with promo code PERMA. All right, folks, I want to get into something important because coming up, Renewed Homestead on March 29th, they're going to have a sheep processing class. Now, I've whacked a number of critters with Ben over at Renewed Homestead, and we've done classes out there before. Folks, I'm telling you, this, if there was ever a time that you want to get these skills, it's now, because folks, everybody thinks we crossed the finish line. I got news for you. I think we haven't even begun to start the race. I'm not a pessimist. I'm a realist. And looking at what's happening with the economy and all the other things going on, these data points, folks, if there was ever a time for you to get these skills, it's now. It is right now. And I'm going to offer some things that you might want to think about. So we're going to put that, Denise, if you can maybe put that up on the screen. Okay, here we go. Oh, if I can find, oh yeah, chat's moving kind of quick. Okay. So the sheep butchery class you're going to want to go to for the ones that are listening in audio format, of course, it's going to be in the show notes, but it's www.renewedhomestead.com/events- Okay, look, just there's a lot there. Yeah. So yeah, if you go to renewedhomestead.com, I'm sure you're going to find it. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if I'd do it any justice trying to, you know, put all that up here right now. But anyway, folks, here's what's going down. Look, first of all, as far as a butchery class, this is about as reasonably priced as it's ever going to get. And as I understand it, you're going to walk away with some meat. And look, if you pay for a butchery class and you spend, now I want to be very careful about how I say this because I've been very, very, very critical. And William knows this. I've been very critical about a lot of other people out there teaching these butchery classes. And son, do you want to go into the reasons why?
Because they teach them all these different techniques that aren't applicable to other animals. Okay, for example, when it comes to pig processing, if you learn how to scald a pig, that doesn't apply to anything else. Everybody wants to focus on these fancy cuts to make themselves look like good butchers and stuff like that, instead of focusing on how many meals can I get from this animal. We're homesteaders. We're not worried about Frenched out lamb chops or anything. We want as many meals as possible from this animal that we've raised most of the time since birth. But yeah, we've taken care of this animal. We want as much out of this animal as freaking possible.
Well, I couldn't have said it better myself. Yeah. And then plus, when you learn how, let me just tell you this much, folks. If you raise that animal up and you drop them off, especially a sheep, pig, anything like that, you drop them off, they smell the death miles away. And a lot of the people that work at these processing houses, especially the ones that dispatch animals, when you do that all day, every day, a couple of them are demented. I mean this. You start losing some screws when you kill animals every single day of the year, y'all. Metaphysically, I think that's not good for you. Marjorie Wildcraft has talked about that a great deal, and I agree with her. She's absolutely right. And plus, I've witnessed it firsthand, having been in the butcher's trade. Folks, I'm telling you, you do this every single day, they're demented. So what I'm getting at here is when you drop your animal off, you probably have an emotional attachment, at least to some extent. I mean, especially if you saw this animal raised up or you spent any time at all with it. Well, from miles away, they smell death. Now, you may not be in the position of where you can process cows and stuff, but anything from a pig on down to a sheep or whatever, you could easily do this at home. Easily. And then better still, like some of my students in the past, man, once you learn how to do this, you can start doing your own classes.
Shelly and Jason over at Kentucky Sustainable Living, they're teaching their own animal processing classes now.
And doing a bang-up job on it, man. I even posted, yep. I was so proud of Shelly. She did one of her own. And Shelly's over here showing these big old burly dudes how to break down a doggone pig. And folks, I mean, it is fantastic. So when you sit here and you learn these skills, that's one cool thing, is that when I teach a class, number one, you're going to walk out of there knowing you're going to feel like you can go after Moby Dick in a rowboat and take the tartar sauce with you. That's exactly what you should do. Here's what you ain't going to learn. You ain't going to be learning no Nouveau Almondine thin crust bottled water deep fried city food. Like William said, yeah, I can do all those things. In fact, I got the videos to prove it. I'll show you how to French out a this and a that and a this. But in a butchery class like this, you need to First of all, understand the why. Why am I doing it on my own farm? Number one, there should be nothing going to waste. Absolutely nothing. Whether you turn the bones into bone sauce, or whether you take the skin and you compost it, or whether you turn it into a hide. Ben and I did a class where we learned how to tan hides and all. Okay, well, there's enough brain in every animal to tan that hide, okay? So you can got that option. Or if you don't want to fool around with it and go in your compost pile, you could, you know, take the fur off the end of it, you know, put it in a freeze dryer, make dog treats out of it. That's part of what we used to do in the butcher shop. Okay. So there's so many different ways you can go about this, but you'll never get that option when you drop it off. Plus, what they're charging for processing these days, son, I taught a guy, he was one of my students. You could have knocked me over with a feather when he told me he was paying $1,000 per pig to drop them off. Yes. $1,000 per pig. That means you raised that animal and you didn't make any money on this. You've been just as good, especially if you drop them off. First of all, there's no telling whether or not you got back your own animal. And then 9 times out of 10, depending on the vatos working up in that place, you may not get back all of your animal. So, and you're not going to have a say on how you break this animal down or how it's done. They got their cut sheets. Well, what if I don't want what's on that cut sheet? Well, folks, that's what I teach you. I will show you. It doesn't matter. That's why when I show you how to break down a sheep, it doesn't matter. You can do the very same thing on a pig. Son, am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, any four-legged animal other than maybe a cow, which just equals more cuts. But like the way you do a lamb, you're going to apply it to a goat. You can apply it to an alpaca. You can apply it to a pig. The only thing it really doesn't apply to is a chicken.
That's right.
Or a duck, a bird,
yeah,
basically.
Any kind of poultry, yeah. That's pretty much it. But here's where the difference happens, is when you go to a lot of these homestead events, because of the nature of the rules at the place where they have it, you're never going to see the most important part, which is dispatching the freaking animal. Yeah. You got to know how. Last time we did it at Ben and Denise's, I showed you how to do it two ways. We did it with a weapon, with a 22, and then I also did it where I basically did it halal style with a knife. You know, cover the animal's eyes, and then basically got in there, bled him out right there on the spot. Okay, it's going to get a little bit messy, but hey, first of all, dispatching the animal. Then you're going to learn how to properly gut and skin those animals, and here's the most important part. You can go to one of these festivals and you're going to watch some old boy who or girl do it, but you're not going to put your hands on it. That's totally different than something like this, folks. I will put you in a very uncomfortable place for your own good, okay? Those are the people that come up there. And then there's nothing that gives me more joy than my students sending me videos of them doing their own classes, because honestly, this is what it's about. It's to evangelize. It's evangelizing what should be the most essential parts of homesteading, and that's producing food. And better still, the joy you get knowing, okay, the first time you do it, trust me, you're going to feel like a pig on roller skates. Everybody does. I did. William did. Oh, everybody, yeah, always does. Mm-hmm. And then as you do it a little bit more, you know, first couple, maybe you want to do it yourself or get a couple of friends around. And then when you teach, you learn twice, okay? So you teach, you learn twice. So then after a while, you start teaching a class, and then guess what? You'll be coming back to me saying, hey, I found another way of doing this. Okay, that's fantastic. This is why Homestead Butchery, I mean, this is exactly why Homestead Butchery, y'all, is the cat's meow. This is why you need to learn how to do it on your homestead. Okay, so let's say you can't afford to go to this course. And like I said, it's a bargain for what it's priced. Okay, well, look, you name an animal, except for a cow. I haven't had the time to do that. I honestly don't have the facility to do a cow right now. But you name an animal, if you can't afford to go, watch the videos I put out there, okay? Of course, I'm sure YouTube, you're going to have to look for them, but I'm sure YouTube is suppressing a lot of this stuff right now. Because thing I want you to know is how to do this.
When you were out of town and we had that sick lamb and I had to process that lamb, all I did was follow a YouTube video. I panicked for a second, but then I followed a YouTube video, shot the lamb, got that squared away, brought it over, and then I just followed along with the YouTube video, which hindsight, there were a few things I could have done to make it easier, obviously, like put it in the freezer, let it stiffen up a little bit, and then, you know, process it, because it was summer in Texas, so everything was like jelly, and it was kind of hard to cut, but got through it.
Yeah, but I hadn't yet taught you one-on-one how to break these things down, and look, you figured it out by yourself. So worst-case scenario, I mean, folks, it is not that difficult. It's going to seem that way at first, but honestly, the whole digestive system and all that stuff you're going to take out of there is the same exact way in the chicken. It's just a little bit different. It's just a little bit different, but don't worry. By the time you walk away from there, you're going to know exactly what you're doing. And partially, folks, this is part of what I wanted to talk about, is that now that we have Trump in office and, you know, this is the best time to get yourself squared away on a lot of these things, because honestly, if anybody's foolishly thinking, and I'm saying foolishly, if you're foolishly thinking we crossed the finish line, well, I say you're being a little bit naive. A lot naive, because honestly, have the chemtrails stopped? Nope. Yeah. And at the end of the day, I would rather eat the meat that I'm producing on this homestead any day of the week than anything I can get out of a store, because I know how it was raised. Just like Denise says right there in the chat. I mean, essentially, you know how it was raised. You know how it was dispatched. And 9 times out of 10, when you do this, the rest of them couldn't care less. Don't worry. I'll show you everything you need to know. Ben will be out there. He knows his way around this stuff as well. So we'll be working as a tag team on training you guys. So folks, go check out, get these resources. You need them. And this is probably going to be the last butchery class I'm going to do for this whole year. Usually I team up with Jason at Sow the Land, and we do a couple of pig processing courses at the end of every year. but I don't know if I'm going to do that anymore. But yeah, you know, Renewed Homestead is just down the road from us, and they're friends. So I'm just going to, this is probably going to be the last course I do this year. We got so many doggone irons in the fire. I just can't, I don't have the bandwidth to do more than this right now. So if you want to go out there and get trained, go to renewedhomestead.com and you're going to be glad you did. So
and if nothing else, like one of the benefits of processing your own animals or just raising your animals up and then processing them is, I don't know if anybody's bought meat from the grocery store lately, like particularly beef, but every single bit of it is completely waterlogged. Like yes. None of it has been aged at all. It's all like bright pink. Like I have meat sitting in the freezer, in the fridge right now, trying to dry out just so I can cook it without it being like it. The texture is off, everything. It's just horrible meat now. Anything you buy at the store is just crap and more expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it's the bottom line is, I mean, typically in an old look, there was a time in America where there was a butcher shop on every corner. In every neighborhood, they had a butcher shop. Those don't exist anymore. Folks, you got to be your own butcher shop. They don't age this meat anymore. I mean, at the minimum, they're supposed to go about 14 days. I mean, when I do mine, I like to let it go at a minimum of 21 days. And depending on the cuts, I mean, we can go as long as 40. So, I mean, boy, you can really, really bring out some flavor in a steak, let me tell you. But like William said, even if you have to buy some store-bought meat, and let's say it's beef, like I said, try this little experiment. It's a butcher's experiment. Try this. Let's say you buy a six pack. Let's say you go to your grocery, your local Piggly Wiggly, and you go to your Piggly Wiggly. Let's say you get a pack of steaks, if you can even afford them these days. Okay, they're going to be bright red, and that ain't the way it's supposed to look. Honestly, to a high-end butcher shop, the meat should feel tacky. It's called a pellicule, but it should not be wet. So all you do, put it on a wire rack, set it in your fridge for several days. Okay, let's say there's a four pack of steaks. Try this experiment. Eat two of them right off and then leave the other two in there for about 3 or 4 days. They're going to turn a little bit brown. The enzymes are going to be breaking it down a little bit, and the meat's going to turn a little bit brown. It's going to draw that moisture out of there. Now cook those other two steaks 3 or 4 days later and tell me if there is not a massive difference in the flavor. And that's just by aging it in your fridge. And you also want to make sure you got baking soda in there. Otherwise, it's going to take on the flavors of other things that are in your fridge. So you want to make sure you got some fresh baking soda. If you got something that's been in there a while, you want to exchange that stuff every once in a while. But if you got baking soda in there, make sure you have the baking soda in there probably a week before you put the steaks in there, and then put your steaks in there. That way your steaks won't taste like pineapples or whatever else you may have in that fridge. Someone asked, I think it was Grandma. Oh, let's see here. Yeah, do you have to bring your own knives? No, you don't have to bring your own knives. I will bring everything. Got a whole gang of knives. They're all sharpened up. All you need to bring is yourself. And I'm not sure if lunch is provided or you need to bring your own. Usually Denise is cooking something. I'm not sure. You'll have to go to the website and check that part out. But like Denise wrote in here, Ben is taking the butchery lessons that he learned from me and butchered deer and bear with his same skills. Exactly. So they work no matter the animal, deer, bear. I mean, Ben's out here. I mean, he's wiping out entire ecosystems now. So, okay, maybe I shouldn't quite put it that way. But anyway, he's off and running. And they got like some of these old boys in these mountains, boy, they're eating canned bear. And they swear, I mean, they love it.
Yeah, I hear it. Elemental M. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, son.
Elemental MJ had a comment that I wanted to read out. It says, I started raising meat birds and need to process my first ones very soon. I'm excited, but nervous. Don't like killing, but want the knowledge and experience. That's a good thing you're starting off with rabbits because they're about the easiest animals you can kill. You can accidentally kill a rabbit. Rabbits. Meat rabbits. Rabbit. Yep. Yeah, he's starting off with meat rabbits, and I think that's an awesome start. It's a very easy animal to process. The skin comes off like a sock. The organs just, you know, slide right out. But killing a rabbit, I guess the first time I ever saw it done was Jeff Lawton when he was, like, slitting throats. You don't have to do that. The first thing, because he's following halal. He's Muslim. What you can do is like just hold it up, take a little metal pipe, and then just thunk it in the back of the head. Don't hold back. Make sure it's a solid hit, and then it's immediately dead. There doesn't have to be like a long suffering process. And then after it's dead, immediately just slice the throat. It's not under any pain. It has no idea anything even happened. All it knows is that you were holding it, and now it knows nothing. It's just dead. So rabbits are a good one to start off with. They're easy. You can accidentally kill rabbits, and they almost die for no reason sometimes. So rabbits are a good start.
Yeah, that's a really good gateway drug into butchery. Rabbits, chickens, honestly. You know, chickens are usually a pretty good start, but rabbits aren't bad either. I mean, I usually, you know, honestly, I'd punch them. I'm serious. I mean, I know that's, boy, that sounds awful.
In the back of the head.
Yeah, I mean, I'd punch them in the back of the head, and sometimes I'll make the squeal. You can take a stick. I mean, you can hold them up, and then you just bash them in the head. Boy, I'm not picking good words today.
Yeah, hold on. Let me take this part over, Danny. You're not helping him at all.
No, I mean, that's honestly, I mean, you know what? You're taking life. And folks, I don't mean to sound so flip about it because it's a very sacred act. So I don't, that's what I'm afraid of. I mean, I know I throw a lot of humor out here from time to time, but honestly, whenever you're taking life, man, it's a very sacred act. And it's a very solemn thing. And I thank the good Lord that, you know, he's provided these things. But folks, I mean, you're probably going to need these skills in the future. So, you know, once you learn how to do any four-legged animal, a rabbit, really, I wouldn't put them in there. But I'm saying once I show you how to do a sheep, I will show you a method that I pretty much created that works no matter the animal. That's exactly why I devised it this way. Now, I could cut down a sheep in the way that a lot of other people would do it, but I will do a sheep exactly the same way I do a pig because I want it to be translatable so you don't have to come back. Oh, well, he's doing a pig processing. Let me go back for that. And then you got to blow the money for that. No, we came up with a way that works no matter the animal. It really does. No matter the animal. That's the benefit of doing a course like this and why I've been so critical of so many other butchers out there that teach courses is that they want to talk about the sexy stuff like the charcuterie, how to make mortadella, prosciutto, capicola, all that. Man, like William said, we're homesteaders, okay? Yeah, I love those things as much as anybody else, but I got a limited time, man. I got to wear a lot of hats. Like when it comes to pig, the only processing I do anymore outside of, you know, the pork chops and the hams and all the other things you're aware of is I will cure the bacon or the pork belly. William likes it straight up. I mean, yeah, I'll cure the belly, make bacon out of that. And, you know, hams, I may do something with that. But outside of that, I leave it in the basic cuts. And then, of course, the sausage. And, you know, with the sausage, I love sausage. So I make a lot of breakfast sausage. And I do a lot of other things in that nature. Outside of that, that's all you need to learn. If you were in a butcher shop, they would not be showing you how to make mortadella, prosciutto, capicola, and all these other sexy things that these other people teach. You would never even dream of learning that until you mastered all the other skills that you're going to get here. And that's exactly where you need to start. So when people come up to me and say, well, I really want to learn this. No, I'm sorry. You're not going to learn that. You're going to learn what you need to know, which is how to dispatch that animal, how to break it down into primal cuts, how to break it into subprimal cuts, and how to properly package it, because that's part of it too. You learned that.
I was going to say, Shannon Emerson was asking, does this method work for deer? Yep. Any four-legged animal.
I've done a video on it. In fact, yeah. It's always better if you can be there three-dimensionally. I see Bill Zegley in the comments there. I mean, he's been to a couple of these. Mm-hmm. And you can look at it in a video and follow along, but there are nuanced things that I can't teach in a video. So that's the benefit of actually being there. Yes, it will work on a deer. And I've done the video on that. In fact, when these old boys see the way I process a deer, they're like, holy cow, you mean I don't just rip out the back straps and run with it? No, I'm going to show you how to make elegant steaks. When I say I'm going to show you the basics, y'all, when I say I'm showing you Michelin star kind of basics, okay? You can always scale it back and do it however you want. But at the end of the day, I'm teaching you an animal. The reason why I don't teach you how to take out the back straps, how to rip them out of a deer or anything else is because it doesn't apply. Okay, so what if you got a pig? What are you going to do there? Okay, so you just ruined all your pork chops. So if I show you one method that works no matter the animal, it works no matter the animal. It could be a freaking cow, a moose, a goat. It doesn't matter. And that's the benefit of learning a method like this. And there's also the blessings of being able to do it at home because there is no waste.
You can also use it on a rabbit. Just a small scale, break out that scalpel. But you could use this method on a rabbit if you wanted to.
Yeah, and, you know, 9 times out of 10, I don't know yet, but, I mean, unless Ben and Denise have plans for the guts, the only thing I ever usually want to get from these courses, I mean, you can ask Jason, I usually walk away with the guts and the skin, anything they would ordinarily get thrown away, because I know that it will make the best compost ever, okay? Yep. When you get those organs and blood in your compost, I know what that's going to do, and I need to make a lot of compost, especially for what's going on in Western North Carolina. So anything you want to add to this, son?
It's a skill that everybody needs to learn. If you have like a mutual assistance group, then you need the majority of people to understand this process. Even I know that there are some people that just really don't want to kill an animal. And I 100% get that. I understand that. I think there's specific roles for different people. Not everybody's cut out for killing animals, and not everybody has the ability to separate that thing in their mind. Or if one person is going to be like severely emotionally damaged for killing this animal, but there's another person there that can handle it, then have that person do it. But as far as the processing part goes, that's something everybody can get their hands on. Just get over the squeamishness at that point. After the skin and the head is gone, it's no longer an animal in your head. The only hesitation in actually helping and putting hands on it is the squeamishness from the meat and the blood and all that stuff. Get over it. Get your hands in there. Find your role in the whole processing thing. And it's a skill everybody needs to be at least familiar with.
Well, let me piggyback on what you said there, because that's of profound value, especially for people that are part of a mutual assistance group. If you don't have at least one person in there that knows how to process an animal and is cross-training the other people in that mutual assistance group, well, I'd say you're making a big mistake. So, and then plus, honestly, folks, I mean, from the time William and I, and just me and him putting a pig on the table, it's about 30 minutes before we got it in plastic. And people don't believe it, but we got the videos to prove it. I mean, so just two of us working together. So how quickly do you think you could process a whole, I mean, you can get a bunch of your neighbors, your mutual assistance groups together. Once everybody knows their role, all you got to do, bam, you get him gutted, you get him skinned, you break him down, and then what? Oh, now the cool stuff begins. Now, when you pass those pieces out to everybody, they all know exactly, okay, turn this into pork chops. Okay, you see this ham over here? We don't need another ham. I want you to break it down into ham roast. I'm going to show you how to do this. So, or you can tunnel bone it, or, you know, so many different ways you can go about this. Or if you want to start a little business on the side where you start training, this is, I want to make myself irrelevant. That's exactly what I want to do. And that's why I teach these skills, y'all. That's why Ben and Denise teach these skills. That's why we're all in this teaching these skills, to make ourselves irrelevant to where you can't offer a processing class, where people are like, oh, okay, well, I know how to do that. Well, you know, 100 years ago, everybody knew how to do this for the most part. So that's exactly what we need to get back to. And plus, not only are you going to save a lot of money, your animals, they don't even know it's coming, which means it's going to be better meat. Nobody stole your meat, which is exactly what happens. Yeah. Because honestly, when you're processing the kind of sheep we're going to be processing, these hair sheep, you can't even buy those in the store. Mm-mm. You know, every sheep you get is a lanolin, I mean, drugged out sheep. These sheep haven't been hit with any drugs. I mean, there's not anything on them. So, I mean, this is part of it. I mean, this is a big part of it. Well, son, anything else you got to add to it?
I think we covered it.
Yeah, I think we did. Hey, want to thank Denise out there. Hey, y'all, remember, check out the processing class that we're going to have on March 29th. I mean, we're not long away from there right now. Going to be a good time, and it's always great to fellowship with other folks like that. I mean, I know it's not going to be a bunch of purple-haired Marchies running around, so, you know, I mean, honestly, it's always a great time to hang out. I mean, Ben and Denise are friends anyway, so, I mean, it's always good to hang out with them anyway, but honestly, when we have a whole gang there and we're doing a class, as long as we don't have another this one lady ripping out the hair of these doggone boy. I saw Ben lose it on this woman. She was in there like scalping this. It looked like something out of some freaking ritual, man. And it was like the most bizarre, man. I've been to three county fairs and a hog calling, and I ain't ever seen something as weird as this lady.
If you can make Ben mad, you are seriously screwing up.
That's the most long-suffering dude you will ever meet, dude. And I saw Ben about ready to just go kung fu on her, man. I thought he was going to drop kick her right over the doggone chicken scalder. But, yeah, so no weirdos, okay? Okay, no weirdos. All right, y'all, thank you so much for your support. Until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Channel and nature, let the knowledge ring. We'll groove that run deep. Wisdom from soil, permaculture dream. Let the ideas unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, truth, truth. Feeling nature's truth, truth, truth. We've got the answers, all we need to do. Listen to the earth, they got us. Watch the world spin from the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life. For the magic's alive, tune it to the beat, feel the vibe and thrive.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.